You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Father God, again, for the privilege it's ours, we want to pause for this few minutes to acknowledge the grace that's been bestowed upon us. At the same time, recognizing our limitations and our great need, we do pray for your grace in a very special way, but because of the subject matter this morning, that the Holy Spirit may convince and convict according to your own plan, that our lives might be encouraged as we realize the depth of the involvement of things that we get ourselves concerned with daily. As a result, more and more our lives shall be conformed to the Word. May the Holy Spirit be pleased now to move in our midst to that end, as He searches every heart, as He undertakes to meet every need and fulfill your purpose. It's your grace, your blessing, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, to pull our thinking together now again, remember that the subject we've been dealing with now for some time has to do with the kingdom of God or the government of God. And this morning we come and look at the attack upon that government, upon that kingdom. And we have set before us here something of the wiles of the enemy. It's always good to know your enemy, to understand him, to know what he's about. And the lesson that we have before us is to that end. Last week we saw John the Baptist coming in the New Testament for the first time calling out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was so because he was sent to be the forerunner. As we saw last week, that Christ was born to that end, to be a king, to reign upon a throne. We read in our text this morning, however, that immediately following John's baptism in the wilderness, Jesus says in chapter 4 then, at that moment in time, he was energized of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. To begin with, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he began to be hungry. I can imagine he would be. Again, it demonstrates that he truly was a man as well as God. He got hungry. At that point in time, Satan came. "If thou be the Son of God," he said, "command that these stones be made bread." Jesus answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And you can see this is an attack upon the material, upon the body, upon the natural man. And you see that the three attacks of Satan have to do with, first, the natural man, secondly, the spiritual man, and thirdly, your vocation. These are the realms of Satan's attack upon you and upon the attack of his church, the called out of God. It's a very subtle attack. When you're hungry, it's only natural that you should eat. And if you've been without food for 40 days and you had the ability to turn stones into bread, it would seem that it'd be a perfectly legitimate thing to do. That's the human rationale of the thing. Satan is very well aware of our rationale, how you reason out, justify what you do because of the need. And Jesus saw, of course, through him, and we ought to, too, that man does not live by bread alone. That doesn't mean that we don't need bread, but that's not the first on the agenda. The first on the agenda, that man lives by the Word of God. The difference between that and the other is this. The natural man needs physical sustenance to get along because he's a biological creature. And biology must have something to feed on. But the life that we're talking about, that Jesus is talking about, that you live on, is not physical food. It's spiritual food. That's the most important thing in your life. You see, how we have reversed things and how Satan uses that. He did not attack the spiritual man first. He attacked the natural man. He meets us where we are and our rationalization of things. Today, on a larger scale, we see this lie promoted on every hand. We call it by many titles. We call it humanism. We call it the social gospel. We call it even Marxism, taking from those who have and giving to those who have not, in order that the world may have enough to eat, we may have peace. You know, Christ was a great teacher about peace. He had a lot to say about it. But you see, beloved, the first announcement of Christ's coming, when the angel cried out to the shepherds on the hillside, the Savior is now born, and they begin to sing, great host of heaven, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. But it's not just peace, but it's peace towards men of goodwill. And men are not good-willed men today. Never have been, for that matter. God extends the hand of peace toward those who are of goodwill. He does not give peace apart from that. Peace at any price is the devil's lie. Food at any price is the devil's lie. It was interesting this morning, Tom was bringing out some signs, and I never had quite associated that away, but it was pretty good, I thought. Put a big S like that with two lines drawn through it as the sign of our time. And of course, that's true. That's the sign all of us look at, the dollar sign. And we require a sign. That's the thing that we require, is a dollar. You see? Today we live in a time when all the forces of any significance that are affecting outwardly the things of this world turn on that sign. Because that sign turns the world around. It's the defense, as Solomon said. It answers all questions, almost all questions. It does answer all questions under the sun. It does not answer the questions above the sun. It only deals with earthly things. In 1981, this last year, the World Council of Churches held their Central Committee meeting in East Germany. They were met by the communist, great fanfare associated with it. Do you know who the World Council of Churches is? It makes up the majority of so-called Christendom today. Let me repeat that. It makes up the majority of the so-called Christians today. In January of this year, the World Council of Churches met in Lima, Peru. You know who the head archer there was? a cardinal for Rome. Next year they meet at Vancouver, British Columbia. You know who's going to head the meeting up? Another cardinal. What you see, beloved, everything in life is moving toward a homogeny, just as it was when our Lord was born. The world was moving toward homogeny then. One man had the power. That man called the whole world to be enrolled. Once again, we've come the full circle. We're back there. The religions of the world. Well, you caught the news the last 2 days or not? The Pope, Pappy, traveled to Asia and Africa now. And you know who met him in Nigeria, who the leader was that met him? The leader of the Mohammedans. And then he was taken to a part of Nigeria which over 1 million people, if you saw the helicopter come down to land, and this was supposed to be a Christian area. What a testimony this was. Do you know who met him? Well, a bunch of naked girls with the dances, you know, just like this. They were really throwing a dangle there. And you know what he did? He had his flunkies to go out through the crowd with wafers to feed them all on the body of Christ. Now let me get this point. The theme of these people is that Christ is the life of the world. Sure sounds pretty, don't it? Christ is not the life of the world in the sense that they're talking about. He's only the life of his people. In fact, they quote the high priestly prayer of our Lord, the 17th chapter of John, when Jesus said that they all may be one as we are one. But he's talking about his people, not the world. In fact, in that same chapter, he said, I pray that you keep them in the world, but not of the world. You can't take wafers and feed the crowd Christ. You cannot organize and unite and make people Christians. That does not do the job. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in him alone. The appeal is, and I hate to keep emphasizing you're jumping on the Pope, but it sure symbolizes real well. The emphasis he was that we must feed these people in Africa. We must have peace in Africa. We must have honesty here in Africa. And those are all wonderful goals to be, see. The World Council of Churches, the same thing. You're seeing the unification of the religions of the world, the Muslims. That was who met the Pope, incidentally. What have we got then on the other hand? Everywhere you turn in the business world, what's happening? Merger after merger after merger, same thing. See? The world's getting ready for a Superman. God's going to give us one more chance to get our eyes open on a world basis. There'll be a spectacular thing take place one of these days when the nation of Israel will actually be converted, outwardly at least. Elijah's coming to do that for them, to restore all things to that nation. Along with it, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh so that man will know the truth. Like the book of Acts, however, when God did the same thing for the nation of Israel, the world will still go with the Superman. That's what they're getting ready for. They're going to get it. Man shall not live by bread alone. How? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, what's true for the big organizations that supposedly are Christian? They cannot proceed except according to the Word of God. And they're not out to do that. They're out to do what they are doing. They are the tool of the coming Antichrist. I believe that as sure as I'm standing before you. It permeates every facet of life. Go to college. All our teachers, not all of them, I thank God there are some otherwise, but most of the teachers in the big universities are humanist, are communist, are Marxist, are, you can put your own title on there, but that's what they are. And we cannot live apart from the Word of God if we are Christians. That is our whole makeup. You see, man is spirit first. He is solely second, and he's bodily thirdly. But notice how the order, what's attacked at first here by Satan. He gets to the body, see. Why? Because the body is our problem. That's why you hear Paul cry out in that 7th chapter of Romans, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death?" See, that's the thing we're concerned about. That's why we got such big doctor bills. And if you don't have to go to those doctors, stay away from them. You think my grandfather was crazy. He wouldn't even go to a doctor. He's 70-some-odd years old. He broke his hip. He set his own hip. That's how. And when he was 80 years old, he took his pocket knife and cut his teeth out. He would not go to a doctor. I think that's a little extreme. But nevertheless, you see, the point I'm getting at is that we are concerned about the body. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This ought to be the habit of your life. When you have a need, don't sit down and say, "Well, I got a rash, I got to figure this thing out." That's the time to go to the Word of God to have that need met. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that means, beloved, that you must rightly divide the word. You must realize the subject matter you're dealing with. You must realize what is addressed to you and what's addressed to somebody else. You must know the word. And I'm fearful to say that most of so-called Christendom does not know the word. That's why we're in trouble. That's why we have all these issues today that are troubling humanity. We've got the racial issues. We've got the food issues. We've got discrimination issues. We've got all these issues. Beloved, the reason why is because man is trying to live by bread alone apart from the Word of God. Love Jesus. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Incidentally, if you want everything that Jesus did is based upon the Word of God. It is written. Notice, it is written. Man, that's from Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you want to put that down. "Man shall not live by bread alone." Well, now, you're quoting Scripture to me. That's what Satan said, you see. Quote Scripture, I'll quote Scripture. He said, first he took him up on the temple pinnacle. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, it is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." You notice that little phrase in there? "Lest at any time." Now that's a quote from the 91st Psalm, verses 11 and 12. But Satan added that little phrase in there, "at any time." There's a time when you don't look to God to do that which you know is foolish. See, Satan can quote Scripture too, but he always does something with it. He perverts it. The first time, you know, the first voice that you ever hear of Satan is in the Garden of Eden. And Eve, he's talking to Eve. And he caused her to misquote the scripture. God said, thou shalt not eat of the tree nor touch it. God said nothing about touching it, you see. She don't touch it. Nothing happened to her. He quotes scripture, pretty good at it. But he quotes it, he's out of context. He perverts it every time. He perverted it here. And of course, I think the Lord must have really been laughing, and yet he wasn't, but in a sense, in an ironical way, at Satan's attempt there to use scripture. Because he came right back, notice. It is written, thou shalt not tempt. You don't put the Lord to a test. Now that is dealing now with a spiritual matter. Do you believe God can do this? Prove it. And today we have a cry for signs. They want signs, you see. Again, the perversion of Scripture. Because there was a people that God was dealing with, called Israel, where he gave signs and wonders and miracles. But God is not dealing with us that way. We walk by faith, not by sight. We pay attention to what God has said to us. We obey that which he says to us. Not what we see or hear, smell or feel, but what God says. You don't have to put God to a test unless he calls upon you to put him to a test. The only thing I can think of that's addressed to us to prove God is this. And God himself calls upon us to do this. He does not call upon the lost to do this. He calls upon his people to do this. What I'm quoting now must not be construed as something that the world is to do, but what God expects his people to do. I therefore beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove, put to a test, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's the only thing God ever asked us to make a test about in this time and age. Because God is not dealing with us in signs. With Israel, he promised them signs. They could expect it. And even those hard Pharisees and Sadducees, those proud walking dead, when they asked for a sign, he said, there shall no sign be given you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You see, we must always read who God is talking to and what God is talking about. We must keep everything in its proper context. If we do that, then, of course, we will not be a victim of Satan, who, as a roaring lion, goes about to see who he may destroy. Learn the scriptures. Learn them and burn them into your heart to deal with your everyday life. You're going to need to one of these days. Because we read in the Old Testament, there's coming a time when there will be a dearth, a famine for the scriptures. That tells you a little bit, doesn't it? You need to know the word. And you must recognize Satan's attacks. Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. Notice, if you will, with your mind's eye now, and I'll just, because only, you know, it's hard to realize this, as much as is said about the devil in the Bible. Did you know that he only spoke 3 times in all the Bible? You ever hear him speak but 3 times? He spoke in the Garden of Eden. He spoke in the case of Job. And he spoke here. 3 times. A lot is said about him, but you don't hear much about him. And the Scripture says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And every time the devil opened his mouth, he spoke the lie, even when he quoted Scripture. There are two characteristics about this fellow that you need to know carefully. One is that he slanders. That's his very name, the slanderer. And in the Garden of Eden, he slandered God. He said, if you take of this fruit, ye shall not surely die. And God had said, the day that you take of that fruit, you shall surely die. He slandered God. He made God a liar. Next time you hear him, he's talking about Job. And Satan said, doth Job fear God for naught? You put a hedge around it and remove it. He'll curse you to your face. Who was he slandering then? Man. So the rascal is a slanderer. If you are ever dealing with anybody about Scripture, and you've got him in a corner where they can't move, watch them, because that's the time they're going. If they know you particularly, they're going to attack your weaknesses, and they'll attack your something about you. See, who are you to be telling me this when I know this about you? See, which has no relation about the things you're talking about at all. But it's to slander every time. You see, that's one method he uses. And another is our traditions. And our Lord put his finger on that in the days of his flesh when he spoke to the religious leaders of his day, when he said, through your traditions you've made the word of God ineffectual. And brother, we got it running out our ears. I come from a string of Scots, and they're all Presbyterians. And that's almost holy with some of those people sometimes, you see. And it is true that there have been a lot of godly men came out of that group. And it came out, let me put the word there, because they had a good foundation in their start. But, you know, beloved, the traditions have destroyed that organization. If you go through the Presbyterian preachers in Oklahoma City, I don't know, I haven't been in touch with them for 35 years, so I've lost all touch with them, but if you did, you'd find that 90% of them do not believe that this is the inerrant Word of God. And I can say that because I came out of that group. I could say the same thing about the rest of them too, but there's no point in it. Because our cemeteries, are turning out dead theologians. And it's all based upon the traditions of our fathers and not upon what thus saith the Lord. This is the ways in which Satan works, through our traditions. Tradition, you see, has some basis of truth. But it has poison in it too. It is not the pure Word of God. Illustrate the point. We have a document called the Declaration of Independence. I believe inspired of God. I believe that. I believe God energized men to write that. But there were many men involved in that who did not believe the Word of God. They were influenced by it, men of God. Consequently, their writings are taken on an equal par with men who did believe and are quoted today. See? You'll find, notice, all of the humanistic movements of our time, they have a lot of good truth in it. Did you ever note that they all are doing this for some social benefit, Not because it's right or wrong, but for some social benefit. Upgrade. Lift man's spirit up. Only thing that will ever lift up the spirit of man is the spirit of God. That's all. And it must be according to the Word. God never works apart from the Word. I'd like to spend more time on this spiritual aspect, but we don't have to test God. We have to believe God. That's all. We don't have to depend upon the necessity of life. God, you see, if you are hungry, God knows that. You don't have to ask Him for food on the table. These things, can you imagine a father having children and they're hungry and they got to pray to Him, get something to eat? What kind of a father would that be? God knows what your material needs are. He don't always deal with your material wants, but He knows what your needs are. He makes no mistakes. Don't let the God of this world, and He is the God of this world, Satan. Incidentally, if you want proof text on that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See? Don't let him blind you in the material realm or in the spiritual realm. You don't have to test God unless He tells you to. Lastly, but not least, I'm sure like we'll just spend more time on that, but I hurry on now. Verse 8. The devil takes him to the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world, the governments of this world. And Luke says he did it in a split second. Now, you see, time, he run just like a moving picture. Like this. One, wham. And Satan showed him all the kingdoms of this world, all the economics of this world, just like that, one split second. He said, all this is yours. All you got to do is fall down and worship me. What did Christ come to the earth for? To be the king of this world. That's his vocation. What's your job? You want some shortcuts? That's what Satan was offering him. Satan knew what he came for. He knew what Christ was here for. You think he didn't have his demons out there listening the night that Gabriel announced his coming? He shall be called the Son of the Highest upon the throne of his father David. He shall rule forever. Satan knew all about that. He knew what Christ came for. Be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Satan said, you don't have to go through all that rigmarole and be promoted and die and all that. I'll give it to you. It's like that. And Satan, our Lord didn't argue the point, because all he had to do was look at the kingdom and he saw who was in control of them, and it was the devil himself. He knew that. Why we have so much crookedness in this old world? People are trying to shortcut. They want to get ahead in a hurry. They use their vocation to do it. Whatever God's called you, whatever you've got your hand on, if you want promotion, look to God for promotion. Don't look for somebody else. Look for Him for energy to direct you. Whatever your calling is. In other words, we're to walk worthy of our calling. Today, that sign under which we live, you know that big S sign with the two bars through it? See? That's the problem. Men are after that sign. Of course, the women aren't. But anyway, that's the way it is, you see. And vocation-wise, Satan will attack. Many a man, that's his Achilles' heel, is his vocation. Don't get so involved in your vocation that you don't remember what your walk is. And your walk must be, whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of the great Christ Jesus, whatever you do. This is a terrible place to stop, but it's 12 o'clock. But we will be touching some more on this next week as we deal with perhaps one of the greatest traps of our time when we deal with the so-called Sermon on the Mount. How the devil has used that to destruction of Christendom is almost unbelievable. We'll be dealing with that next week. You might saturate your mind and heart with that. The 5th, the 6th, and the 7th chapter of Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount. It's the heart of Jesus' teaching. And they use that phrase, you know. Well, we're following the teachings of Jesus. You know, it's such a holy face, you know. But that is a mask, beloved. They're not following in the true sense of the word. True enough that he did teach these things. And he taught it for a specific reason, for a particular people, at a particular time. When you take it out of that context, it becomes what? The lie. Father, thank you for the word. For your faithfulness toward us. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to use the things we've discussed or that I've talked about. May the Holy Spirit discuss these things with us, that they may become a part and parcel of our makeup. Honor your great Son in this, Father, as you edify your people, beginning with me. This your blessing, your grace and care. This for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name I ask you. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.